Ghost Army of World War II, how one top-secret unit deceived the enemy with inflatable tanks, sound effects, and other audacious fakery. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
Good morning. This is Scott Nelson of WGTD, and this is the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show. Today, we're discussing the electrical aspects of Christmas displays with Gateway Technical College's electrical apprentice instructor, Rob Elderson. So, John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
It is nice to be here. Thank you, Scott. And we do have a really great guest today with our apprenticeship program at Gateway. Now, a little known fact, a lot of Fab Labs have traditionally generated an ornament workshop in the Christmas months. So they figured out early on you could use 3D printers to make really cool ornaments. And we'll discuss a little bit about what some of those are. But invariably, we wind up putting electricity or LEDs or lights in it. And I don't know how many of you have seen A Christmas Story, but the part where the dad goes and he blows a fuse and he's got like, he replaces it and then he's got all these plugs into this thing and they're all smoky and black, can get really dangerous. So first I want to introduce our guest, Rob Alderson. Rob, say hello and introduce yourself.
Yes, I'm Rob Alderson. I am the electrical apprenticeship instructor for Racine and Kenosha Union Locals.
And, of course, our other co-host.
Good morning, everybody.
Steve Whitmire, our civil engineer at Gateway. So when I first started at Gateway, this event was already going on. Every December, we would generate what we would call an ornament workshop. And we thought of different ways we could make ornaments. One of the cool things you can do 3D printing is you can generate what's called a spiral wind. So if I have a volume, let's say I have a cylinder, or I can actually tell the printer to do the bottom and then just wind its way up with one single bead to generate the entire shape. So I can quickly generate any type of a shape that way, and it's great for making ornaments. And you can leave a little circle on the bottom and pop an LED into it. So we started rethinking different ways we can make ornaments. There's flat ornaments you can make, and you can slot them and put them together. You can, when you're done, of course, paint or decorate ornaments, which, you know, can be a lot of fun. We also figured out ways to make them on the laser, and the laser, for me, is always really intriguing because I can cut multiple shapes, slot them together to generate three-dimensional forms. And what I've been doing recently is inlaying acrylic into acrylic to generate these really cool, like, snowflake things. So you can just play around with all these different ways to make things.
Now, how long has this event been going on? Like, is it a night event or is it during the day?
We always do evenings because we want people to be able to come out after work and bring their families. You know, we encourage the public to use the lab. We encourage people to bring out their families because it can energize the kids. They just love it and they have a really good time with it.
Do we have a tentative date this year for the Christmas display?
We usually do the either the first or second Tuesday in December. So you want to watch our site, which is gtc.edu/fablab.
And what was that?
We'll say it again, right? gtc.edu/fablab. And we have our events calendar posted there, which also gives you a good idea of what we're doing in the Fab Lab all the time. And you can also find open labs posted there because we want to remind everyone that we are open to the public. So we hold the event. I would say Fab Labs have been around since 1998. I mean, we are literally 25 years into having Fab Labs. And right now, we are finally gaining momentum in the educational world. So a lot of schools are seeing the value of putting these in. And you want to think of it as like a new and improved library, you know, where you can go and you can actually do things where we actually encourage you to talk instead of tell you to whisper.
Now, what's really cool about the Fab Lab, especially this event with Christmas decorations, is that this is a real simplistic way to get familiar with the Fab Lab, to see what it does, to see what the potential is. Come in and do a little Christmas decoration and then find out how the permutations of what you can do with the Fab Lab in other aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. We always say the window of possibility swings open in your mind when you come in. And everyone's got like that little invention they want to try and make or something or a project that they want to work on. And the Fab Lab is a perfect place for that.
And that's what I really like about the Christmas decorations, because it's a great starting point. that's something real simple. And we're getting to that season right before Thanksgiving where everybody starts thinking about Christmas decorations because they usually go up now before Thanksgiving, but a lot of people are traditional and don't do it till after Thanksgiving. But everybody's thinking about and getting prepared now. These are opportunities. You don't have to wait till the event to actually come in to try this stuff, do you?
Exactly, exactly. And now the, one of the first years that we did it, we bought these glass bricks, and you've probably seen glass brick walls. And we picked up LED lights, or we picked up battery-powered tree ornament lights, and we put them inside the block. So you decorate inside the block, and you put it on. But one of the original components in FabLab, called out by MIT, you know, they talk about 3D printers, laser engravers, vinyl cutters, but they also talk about desktop CNC, and then the fifth one is soldering. So a lot of times you are dealing with electricity, and electricity can be super complicated. Now, I was at Gateway, maybe 2 or 3 months when I met Rob. And I'm gonna bring him on here a little bit and have him talk about this. But he came in. I had some sort of event going on. I think I was up to my eyeballs in kids. And he kind of gives me that look. He's like, yeah, I'm the new electric apprentice guy. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I go, hey, you know, I had always wanted to make a Tesla coil, but I heard they're really complicated. And I thought Jacob's ladders are easy, right? So Rob goes, oh, yeah, I got a couple transformers. It was either the garage or the basement, I think he said.
Yeah, they were in the garage. I just had them sitting around. They were used, came out of a restaurant, and I thought I'd make something like that myself. But now when John brought it up, it just pushed me to make it.
Yeah. So he goes, oh, I got some stuff. I'll bring it in, and we'll make a Jacob's ladder. Because if you've seen, like, the horror movies, that's where you have the little spark that climbs up between the two electrodes. And those are fairly easy to make. So I thought, yeah, okay, right. You know, he says he's going to do it. I didn't fully anticipate he would actually do it. And he shows up the next day, and he's got a box of stuff, and he's got all this copper things. He goes, oh, I had to pick up this, and I had to pick up that. And he had a couple of transformers. So I was very impressed with that. So electricity integrates into what we're doing. So talk about the Jacob's ladder.
It's a simple device. You need something to produce a high voltage with low ampacity. So it needs voltage to create the arc across the two electrodes. And as it's arcing, the heat from it makes the electricity rise up on the electrodes. And yes, we did have one instructor that wondered just how hot it was. So he placed his hand over the top of it by about 3 inches. And when it got up to the top, the actual arc across there jumped over to his hand. And he did get bit off of 12,000 volts. Yes, he did survive, but it did hurt him a little bit.
Oh, that was funny. And the look on his face when he did it, because you could tell it really hurt. He was in front of a bunch of kids, right? And the kids are always like, is that dangerous? I'm like, yeah, you could die if you touch it. And the kids always take a step back like, oh, my God, am I supposed to be near this thing that could electrocute me? But the look on Mike's face was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I was that stupid, and I did that, and you knew it hurt, so it was a pretty funny experience.
Funny experience, good learning experience for him. He never did it again, and it was a learning experience for us, too, because we realized that, yeah, here's somebody that knew better, and yet it was isolated from the students, but he had to go over there and prove a point, and I don't think he realized just what he was actually doing, and therefore, we had to make our stuff safer.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of the reason why we're here. Now, I really want the public to know about apprenticeship, and Rob teaches electric apprenticeship, and electric apprenticeship is kind of hand-in-hand with what we do at the Fab Lab, but the amazing careers that are available, and I'll have him talk about apprenticeship in just a minute, are all out there, but we're also going to talk a little bit about what to do and what not to do when you start putting electricity to the things that you make, either in the Fab Lab or by yourself.
Yeah, because that's the whole crux of it. Because just like that instructor, you see a lot of Christmas displays out there that are wired not smart by people that are generally pretty smart, but you have way too much, and that's what we want to get in today. But like John was saying, before we get into it, let's talk a little bit about your position in the electrical apprenticeship here at Gateway, because electrical apprenticeship is an awesome way to get into the field. So how would a person go about getting into electrical apprenticeships?
Electrical apprenticeships have been around for 100 years with a lot of the trades. They've been around forever. the thing is that most people don't know about them. So one thing that they do is they will have hiring events. They will have applications out at the local union halls. The Kenosha Local 127 is located on 39th Avenue, across the street from Bradford High School. And the one in Racine, Local 430, is located right across the street on Sycamore from Skate Town. So you go in there, and there's somebody in the office. They will take applications, and you can look up the phone numbers and call them, too, to make sure somebody will be there, because they do take lunch and everything. But once you sign up, it's a process. You have to go in. You have to be interviewed. You have to do an aptitude test. And basically all they're looking for is that you do meet the minimum requirements. So for electricians, your minimum requirements is that you must have a reading level of at least 10th grade, and you must have at least Algebra 1 in your background. Because unfortunately with electricity, there's a bit of math.
There is. And these pre-apprenticeship requirements before you apply, is there a way to achieve those?
Just by signing up. They will set up the time for the interviews. They will set up the time for the aptitude test. All you have to do is show up and take them. Once you have taken both of them, you are put on a list, and you are ranked with other applicants. And when electrical contractors need apprentices, they hire off of that list. And from year to year, it varies. So one class, I had two apprentices from Racine. I had nine from Kenosha. This year, I have 18. Nine and nine from both.
That's awesome.
So, Rob, is it your job to prepare these students, or is it like a pre-apprenticeship, or how does that work?
So there is a pre-apprenticeship. So once you go in and sign up, contractors are always looking for help. So, like, there are certain things that they need. People to assemble light fixtures, people to go out and move material, people to help set things up. And that's a pre-apprenticeship. The contractor actually gets to see you and your work ethic beforehand, which will then put you higher on the list when the interviews come around again. And they do the interviews three times a year. So, and it's always based on the need for electricians. So right now, we have a good need for electricians out there. I encourage people to apply. It is a five-year program. Now, people sit there and think, okay, I can go to college and get a degree in 4 years. What is it going to cost you? As an apprentice, you're going to school one day a week. You're working out in the field 4 days a week. You're making money while you're learning.
And wait, say that again. You are getting paid to go to school.
Yes. For the electricians, they pay you to be in school. So if you don't like school, you like it a lot better when you're getting paid to be there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I've seen people who think they're on one career path and meet Rob, and then they're like, well, actually, that sounds really cool, you know, being an electrician. It's, and I will firsthand testify, being an electrician does not suck. So I know that there's been people who've kind of changed paths and moved into this apprenticeship.
There are things that, let's face it, every job has things that they do not like about it. Well, you're going to run into that. The thing is, though, you're going to be on a construction site, whether you're doing brand-new construction or you're reworking facilities for other facilities to move in. You're only there for a short time. You may be there for a year. You may be there for 2 years. But in a long-term field of being employed for 35 years, you're there for a real short time. And think about it. How many people come out of college and 4 years after they've been out, they do not like what they're actually doing.
Now, one of the things that I was knowing your background, you weren't always an instructor.
No.
How did you cut your teeth into this field?
Basic need. Gateway had a need for an instructor. They had an instructor that went on to a different position, and they were shorthanded. So they had applications out there for instructors. A bunch of us applied. Luckily, I got hired.
Now, what were you doing before you became a Gateway instructor?
Doing the same thing I am right now. I'm working out in the field. So when I started my apprenticeship 35 years ago, I never thought I'd be the instructor. I didn't like the instructor I had. But seriously, yeah. That was a good point. When it came to the need of an instructor and it was brought to my attention, I thought I could do better. And I looked at what happened for our apprenticeship, and I thought, yeah, we really didn't do a lot. Well, I try to make it so that we do a lot of hands-on activities. We actually have a lab down there that we can use tools, material. I've brought stuff in. We have three-phase power. We work on motors, transformers, so that they see it as an apprentice before they hopefully see it in the field, so they have an understanding. And, yes, electricity is dangerous. My job is to teach you how to handle it and be safe about it.
Exactly. And where is this lab located at?
It is in the second floor of the technical building, room 217.
On the Racine campus.
On the Racine campus. I do teach. We have our apprenticeships classes Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in the fall, and then Monday and Tuesday in the spring. And the classroom runs from 7 o'clock to 3:30. And like I said earlier, you're paid to be there in class.
Now, at Gateway, are you the only apprentice person, or is there other fields that have apprenticeship also?
There are other fields that have apprenticeship also. We have the HVAC. We have welding. These are all programs that do have apprenticeship.
Yeah, there's several dozen, right?
Yeah.
If you're interested in learning more about Gateway Apprenticeship, you can always email us at fablab@gtc.edu.
What was that again?
That is fablab.gtc.edu. I will put you in touch with Nikki, right? Nikki's in charge.
Nikki is in charge.
Nikki Pagan. She's in charge of all apprenticeship. There's everything from Barber Cause, HVAC, plumbing. I can't even think of them all, but we do tags for them every year. So it's I know there's dozens.
It's a great opportunity for an individual that's not quite sure what they want to come in and explore and look at all the different things and find a career that you're interested in, because it's more of the hands-on. It's not just 100% book.
No. That's what most people think. Well, I could go to college, but I really didn't like high school. Well, college is totally different from high school. Apprenticeship is totally different from both, because you're in the classroom, but you are actually working with your hands. Now, when I first met John, he had a couple issues at the Fab Lab that he wanted to get resolved. And we made it a class project to come down there and take care of those things.
Yeah, it was awesome. We took care of outlets in the ceiling. You covered some of the power needs for one of our larger scale printers. And just recently, I picked up a large scale CNC machine, and the electric apprentice not only did the wiring for it, and they had to run an entirely new panel, but he offered to let them actually put the machine together. And I came in that day thinking, okay, they're going to have it halfway together. I'm going to need to rip it apart, put it back together. They did a great job. They got out the instructions, started following it, and they had most of the machine installed by the time I got there. It was great.
But this is one of the things I love about Gateway in terms of an educational environment, is the fact that we have those hands-on opportunities where you actually do things with what you're learning. I mean, you do some book work. You still cover the basics in terms of the educational aspects of all the electricity, but then you actually apply it, and that's what I love to see.
That is one thing that is lacking when I went to Gateway. The instructor there, he was by the book. We're doing this, you're learning this, and you'll see it out in the field. No, that's not how I approach it. If we have it at the school or have access to it, when we talk about it and learn about it in a book, now we actually go and do it as much as we can.
That's a typical thing at Gateway. I know that's true of the engineering program as well.
Exactly.
You're getting actual projects. You're getting boots on the ground knowledge. And you're also exposing them to things that a standard electrician might not get, like putting together stuff,
yeah,
and understanding how it works. And, you know, just the physical structure of something is going to help them understand a little more about how it utilizes electricity and the different forms of power it gets.
Hey, Rob, can you talk about, like, some of the jobs that some of these apprentices would be going into? I mean, electrical could cover a lot of different bases as far as jobs, but what kind of employment do they usually land?
Well, with the electrical contractors, it depends on what contractor you are with and what kind of work you're going to get. So, like, you have the Uline warehouses out here. You have Amazon. Amazon was broken down into three electrical contractors. One did the power for it, one did the machines inside of it, and one did the building. So you have various stages, and you have to work with other people in the trades, not just your own electricians, but everybody, and you get to see different aspects. you may get into a whole system of doing fire alarms in a new building. So you're going to be in a specialized situation. And that is very critical when it comes down to it because, once there's a fire, if things don't work, nobody knows about it. So it is critical what we actually do. And when people sit there and they look around, I don't know what I want to do. Well, just take a look around that every building that is out there utilizes electricity. We are one of the first trades on the site. We are one of the last trades leaving the site.
And in Southeast Wisconsin, do we have some cool projects that are coming up that involve electrical?
We have a lot of projects that are coming up. If people have been paying attention, Microsoft is coming in with a server farm. You have out in Paris.
Microsoft server farm, that's not just like a one-acre thing. This thing's huge, isn't
it? It's huge, and it's going to come in stages. And there's going to be a need for electricians, and they are building a server farm in another state. Our business agents have gone out there to see it, to understand the manpower needed for it, and they're looking at 200 to 300 electricians out there working on it.
Full time for years to come.
It's
going to be insane.
It's going to be in stages, and right now they are planning between 6 and 7 years for completion. You can finish your apprenticeship on one project, which was unheard of 30 years ago.
Right. And that's just one. Are there anything with regards to the new energies like solar and wind?
So out in Paris, there is a solar farm, and it's been a longer project than what they have anticipated. But you're going to see more solar farms going on. As far as wind turbines, we have two in Racine at the Johnson's Complex. That was all put up and done, and the people that worked on it were just like, never seen one of these before. But different technologies are coming to the area, and when you have the advancements in the solar and the wind turbines, you're looking at now you have companies that are going to want to need that and want to have that. So Johnson's is a big proponent for going in there for new technology. They have wind turbines on their campuses.
And that's one of the things that I'm just amazed at in Southeast Wisconsin, from not only the electrical apprenticeships, the boots on the ground that run the wires and hook everything up, but also the electrical engineering department that design all this stuff and help facilitate the designs on all that stuff. We have both at Gateway. So if you're interested in any aspect of electrical, you can get into the profession at different areas because it's not just one person running a cable. There's a bunch of different areas with regards to this profession that you could get into.
Well, being the electrician, the one that is hands-on, that's pulling the wire, connecting everything, hooking things up, it used to be the attitude of a lot of people. I am too dumb to go to school. I'm going to just work with my hands. Well, let's face it. Nowadays, you have companies that are coming in, and they are installing $400,000 to $500,000 pieces of equipment. Do you want the guy that doesn't know anything hooking that up?
No, and that's what's huge about Southeast Gateway in Southeast Wisconsin, because we have transformed the average worker from that into a very highly educated worker across the board in all of our fields, and that's the whole purpose of Gateway Technical College, is to provide that opportunity to develop that advanced worker so that we can recruit better businesses to the area.
All right, Rob, I got a question for you. Everybody wants to know, how many strings of Christmas lights can I plug into one power strip safely?
That depends on a couple of factors. You have to look at what the actual Christmas string says. The manufacturers have engineered this down. They are trying to tell you this is the maximum amount that you can plug in. So in the movie Christmas Vacation, Chevy Chase has 100 cubes plugged into one outlet. That would never work. The weight factor alone would make it become unplugged, but that's a whole other thing. When he sits there and he plugs the cords in there, there's a big arc that goes across there. Yeah, if you overload a circuit and you plug something in, if you hear an arc, that's a good indicator that you have way too much on there. Always go with the recommended manufacturer's specs on that. And they'll tell you. You can plug in 5 or 6 strings in a row.
Great.
Now, how has that changed with the advent of this animatronics, the animated stuff that's out in the Christmas yards and everything that are doing really cool things these days?
Really, when you look at it, most of them are LEDs. There's low draw on them. The little blower fans that keep them all up and the little motors that are going on, they will tell you an amperage rating on that device.
And what's an amperage?
That's the amount of current that the electricity is using. That's what will dissipate some heat on the cords. That's why you do not want to plug too many cords in. They heat up. They melt. Things go wrong.
That's not a good thing, I take it.
That's not a good thing. So typically, if you look at it, it'll tell you can draw like 2 amps, 3 amps. Your outlet is probably only 15 amps. So try to keep it around 10 amps max. That way, if something does go wrong, or, oh, I want to just plug one more thing in, you have a little give there and you know it. But when you start going, well, it'll take 15 amps, I'm plugging 15 amps into it, not a good sign.
Have you seen the after effects of when somebody's tried to plug in too many things to draw amps?
Yeah, basically the heat up points are going to be either on your extension cord or on the main Christmas light decorations that you have, the main one that feeds everything through. The wires do get soft and melt. You will notice that the outlets get hot, and you'll see a little discoloration around the plug-in. Those are good indicators that, hey, I better start thinking about something else.
But does that still apply when you have all these outlets with circuit breakers and everything embedded in them?
It still does, because each individual has a circuit breaker for, or a fuse, for just that string and for what will plug into it. But people always like to hook things up, so they may not run it in line where the fuse is applicable. They'll plug it into the end where you can have adapters that will plug in multiples. Well, now you're not running everything through the circuit, but that adapter now is going to heat up. Mm-hmm. So your 6-prong power strip still only will take 15 amps. That doesn't mean you can plug 15 amps into each of those 6.
What's the difference between a circuit breaker and a fuse?
A fuse is a one-time unit, and once a fuse blows, you have to replace it. And a lot of your Christmas lights will have 2 little fuses in at the plug-in end. And a circuit breaker, once it heats up, it will open up the circuit. And then you can reset it. So you don't have to replace anything.
When you say open up the circuit, it disconnects the circuit?
It disconnects the circuit so that no more current will flow through that.
It doesn't open it up so more current can get through?
No. It opens the connection point.
Right, which means it disconnects it.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of those little fuses in the Christmas lights, how hard are those to replace if one blows, because the lights go out, everything goes dark on that string?
Okay. Rule number 1, unplug it.
Okay, before you check it.
Before you check it. Then there's always a little slide that slides open to expose those fuses, and you probably need a little screwdriver to go in there and pry those out because they fit tight. Now, that's why I say unplug it, because many people think, oh, I can just fuse blown out, pull that out, and just they slide the cover off. It's still plugged in. The instant they stick that little screwdriver in there to pry that fuse out, they get bit off the electricity that's there.
And that's never a good thing.
To me, it's not.
Right, exactly. No, it's not. In terms of the – because, yeah, it's more advantageous to see if it's on.
Yeah.
But it's very – this is where the safety part comes in that we've been talking about. It's important to have that safety aspect so you don't do something
dangerous
because you can get hurt at this stuff.
You can
do it
hurt.
Yes. And something can burn down.
Okay, so you're going to come to the Fab Lab. You're going to make your ornaments. You can learn more about apprenticeship, and we have all kinds of information about apprenticeship. Rob might even be on hand, and you can ask him questions if you want. But I want to point out that apprenticeship is something that you don't necessarily think of when you think of Fab Lab. And we've had tool and die. We've had electrical apprentice. We've even had cosmetology come out to the lab and look at different ways they can approach what they're doing. So for us in the Fab Lab, even though we're focused on making things and we're focused on advanced manufacturing, we still connect with all of these programs and we connect really well. The overlap is great. Conventional knowledge is always important, even if you're going to take it a step further and go into advanced manufacturing IT or technology. If you're doing robots and drones and you're learning all this stuff out at Gateway, there's really good chance you're going to need some of that standard conventional knowledge like electrical apprenticeship. And Rob, thank you so much for being here today. I loved having you on the program.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this month's episode of